Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Tuesday, April the 15th. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are in the Big Book on page 31, More About Alcoholism. First paragraph begins with, despite all we could say, through one paragraph ending, and long enough to drink like other people. And the comments will be on the one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Joanne L., the 12 Traditions, Courtney J. The readers of the text are Julie E.B., Leslie M., and Alex K. Thank you all for your service. The share ID for Tuesday, April the 14th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,367. That's 23367. And Wednesday, April the 15th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23369. That's 23369. The newcomer greeter is Kathleen W., and the announcements person is Shelley E. And again, thank you all for your service. The OA preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Joanne.
Oh, good morning, Mo. Thank you once again for your service today. And welcome to everyone, especially the newcomers on the line. My name is Joanne L. I'm from Rhode Island. And thank you, God, I am recovered. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us in the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much, and I pass.
Thank you very much. That's Joanne L. from Rhode Island. And up next, and then I will now ask Courtney J. to read the 12 Traditions of OA. Good morning, Courtney. Press star 1 to unmute.
Thank you, Mo. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for your service. This is Courtney in North Carolina, recovered compulsive overeater and sugar addict, reading the 12 traditions. Number 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop drinking. 4, each group should be autonomous. Now, should I have said eating instead of drinking there, Mo?
Yes.
Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me read.
Well, thank you very much. And that's Courtney J. And she is from North Carolina. All right, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are in the chapter More About Alcoholism on page 31. The first paragraph begins with, despite all we can say, through one paragraph ending, long enough to drink like other people. And the comments will be on that one paragraph only. And I will now ask Julie E.B., to begin reading and comment. Good morning, Julie. Press star 1 to unmute, Julie.
Yes, found the keyboard, found the unmute. Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and our reading. Despite all we can say, many who are real alcoholics are not even going to believe they are in that class. By every form of self-deception and experimentation, they will try to prove themselves exceptions to the rule, therefore non-alcoholic. If anyone who is showing inability to control their drinking can do the right about face and drink like a gentleman, our hats are off to them. Heavens knows we have tried hard enough and long enough to drink like other people. Well, I am today happy to say that I tried it all. That as a real alcoholic, I tried every form of self-deception and experimentation. One of the biggest ones is I thought that if I was skinny, I would be happy. I thought if I was reached that magic goal weight, that I would be happy. I thought that if I did binge things, I would be happy. If I exercised enough, I would be happy. If my life aligned, the problem didn't center in my mind. If other people behaved the way I wanted to, that I could be happy. I mean, I did weigh and pays. You know, I've gained and lost over 1,000 pounds in my lifetime. I've lost 100 pounds 3 times, and I'm grateful to say, with the help of Vision, now have 9 years at my goal weight, maintaining over 125 pounds lost. But I tried them all, and I ate just liquid, and I ate just this, and I tried harder, and I tried to yell at myself. I like to say the fourth step is so important because I like to be angry with myself and others. I like to be afraid and terrorize myself or others. And I live in shame around myself and what I'm about and what others do. And so through the fourth step, through this, I found myself to be a real alcoholic with a disease that centers in my mind. And my problem with honesty comes from whenever I'm putting on a false self. So I have self-deception every time I don't notice, which I didn't for decades, when I was upset, when I was angry, when I was sad, when I was scared, when I was happy, when I could relax, when I can trust other people. So later in the book, it talks about, or maybe earlier, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. That was me. I had this self-deception of putting on a face. And the more I'm putting on a face for other people, whatever experimentation I'm going through, I am trying to prove myself an exception to the rule that I am a normal person who has flaws, makes mistakes, has difficult things to happen in life, and still I can have peace today. I tried hard enough and long enough to use sugar and my other alcoholic foods like other people. But I'm different. My physical therapist just yesterday said, why do you have an alarm set to eat a meal? I said, because I have to eat even these spaced meals. If I get too hungry and go too long and try and go from lunch to dinner and it gets to 6-7 hours, I eat too much. And he thought that was strange. And then I shared how much weight off I had kept off in my program. So that's what I've got, and look forward to other people's shares.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That's Julie E.B. from Colorado. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph, page 31, the top of the page, despite first paragraph, all despite
Doreen
all say,
N.
Doreen N. I got Doreen.
Wait.
I got Doreen N. Who was after Doreen? Did I hear Margaret or
Margo,
Marge?
Margo B.
Okay.
Margo
and Christina
B.
J.
Christina J.
Wendy
Alex
B.
K.
Wendy B. Who was after Wendy? I thought I heard a name in there after Wendy. All right, I have Doreen N, Margo B, Christina J, and Wendy B. Anyone else in this lineup? All right, everyone mute except Doreen N, and let us know where you're calling from. Good morning, Doreen.
Doreen N from Texas. Good morning. Thank you for your service and everyone here in the meeting during service. You know, I can't even begin to tell you. There's like a long list, same thing as other people, yo-yoing my whole life, you know, and it gets old. And yes, I have tried every imaginable method to try to control my weight. Exercise, definitely compulsively. Binge, I am exercise bulimic. I've tried all the programs. Let me go ahead and eat moderately. I can have one slice of pizza, and I could have a small pint of ice cream, the little mini ice creams. Literally, like, I got pissed off. I'm like, I love food. I love food. I like to eat. But it's different. Every time I eat my alcoholic foods, I trigger the allergy. And once it's triggered, it's over for me. I'm down to the races. And I cannot do that. I'm only at 24 days. I've been around for a really long time, but I'm only at 24 days. And I got the miracle to walk down the candy and chip aisle at my job. Cookies, forget it. I'm crazy about cookies. There's not enough Nutter Butters in the world to fill me, my favorite cookie. So I am not the exception. I am the real deal. Whoops, sorry. I'm the real deal alcoholic. I mean, compulsive overeater. I didn't want to stop. I'm like, I love this stuff. You know, why can't I go, you know, and exercise and then eat and pick out for the whole weekend? And then after the weekend, it becomes a Monday, and then it becomes a Tuesday, and then it becomes every day. There have been times that I eat no regular food, nothing but sugar all day, literally all day. And I wanted to be just like a real, but I'm not. I'm not. Self-deception. I'm tired of deceiving myself. This disease of the law is a big fat liar. It lies to me and makes me think, oh, it's okay this time. Have a little bit. No. No, no, no. I cannot do it. And I admit it. And because of that, I have peace and I have calm and I have serenity. With that, I pass.
Well, thank you very much. That's Doreen N., and she is from Texas. Up next is Margot B., followed by Christina J. Good morning, Margot.
Margot B. from New York. Thank you so much, everybody, for their service. I listen quite often, thank God. So a couple of things coming to my brain, God help us, is I ate for effect, like just for oblivion, like If I wasn't like in bags and boxes, like it's just not worth it, so to speak. And so for me, it was a symptom, you know, of the deeper spiritual malady, because that was my coping mechanism. I didn't even know I was a compulsive overeater until I came into the rooms and I was taught. I just thought that was a thing. You binge, you die, you binge, you die, you fight the scale, you try all the fads. It never occurred to me that one compulsive bite would never be enough. I mean, one would trigger the allergy and 100 would never be enough. And I was thinking about coming out of the bags and boxes, right, and the cartons, or asking for 3 forks when I went to the bakery so they wouldn't think I was like just one person eating everything. And I just thought of like the plate, right, sense of boundaries, right? And it transcends, right? It goes from the food to the spiritual principles, keep me honest, keeping, it's not like I just smashed the delusion. I need to smash the delusion sometimes a minute at a time, sometimes a day at a time, moment by moment, right? I can only do it a day at a time, but sometimes moment by moment, because these delusions can pop up at any time, not only around the food, but around my defects, my motives, my vicariously getting a hit walking by the bakery or watching the person eating the whatever. I had to turn over resentment. I was like, this thin person eating the cake, like, dang. But like, just like little things that pop up in my brain because it is the mental twist. And I got to stay clean, clear, and honest. But for me, I have to practice all the principles, all the steps as I move through this journey, because it starts with the food, but it certainly goes deeper for me. because for me it was the symptom. And then I can learn, oh, I don't have to be maladjusted to life. I can learn a different way of responding. Who knew? So thanks for letting me share.
Well, thank you. That is Margot B., and she is from New York. Up next is Christina J., followed by Wendy B. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning, Mo. Christina J. here. I learned from a young time that I don't have powers. So we knew there was a God. I went to church, but completely relying on God, I didn't learn that till I got into this program. And so I like to take the guilt out of stuff, because this really sounds like I'm just going around trying to deceive myself consciously, and you know, I'm just like an idiot, and I'm in denial, conscious denial. No, I'm in denial out of effing desperation. I'm desperate when I'm in this disease. And I look for a human power. Automatically, I go to a human power. And I went through this program for years, since 2015, and it took me, I've been on a roller coaster ride as I have fallen deeper and deeper into God, into relying on this thing that I have to tell you, I don't believe most of the human race relies on fully. And we have a gift, because we get to rely, we get to surrender this power and rely and turn everything over to this power instead of the human powers. Because I was relying on a lot of human powers. I moved to North Carolina over 3 years ago, and it was pure hell from the day I got there. And I slowly went back into the human power of food. And then I got out of it, and I would go to the human power of sugar-free food. And then I got out of it, and I couldn't get out of it. I went back to the sugar, and I would tell myself every day, oh, I can have these two things, and I won't have anything else, and that's fine. Now, why wouldn't that be fine? That's what I tell myself. But that self-deception based out of desperation, I was so desperate, and I couldn't get out of the allergy. I couldn't put the food down. And I'd lost my connection to God when I got to North Carolina. But also during that time, I found it, because I began to crawl to God with everything in me. So, yeah, I had a lot of self-deception, but it wasn't a conscious, I'm going to see myself. I know I'm not supposed to do this, but I'm going to do it. I mean, it wasn't like out of rebellion. It was out of desperation, pure desperation. I've always known I'm a compulsive overeater. I've always known I was the real deal. But that desperation kept me reaching for something other than the higher power, which is I've learned over the last over 3 years that that's my only hope, is the higher power. And that's anybody's hope. That's anybody in this world's only hope, if we really think about it. People try and try to live life, and they get distracted with all these different things in life, and they go along, and pretty soon they're facing death, and they're like, oh, my God, and they're not connected like they need to be. We have such a gift to be able to connect with this human power now and get rid of all this crap that keeps us from really living as true human beings with a beautiful service to give to others. We are a secret army, as I've often said, secret army of God that is helping others get out of this hell. There's no human power, not the new diet drug. It's a human power, not anything. God wants us to come to him, and he wants to be the power. So that's what I got this morning, and I'm so grateful that I'm finally here after so many years. I pray that I won't ever go back, and as long as I keep in this and turn away, make that turn away when any voice comes, emotional, spiritual, or physical, that wants to pull me back into hell. I don't want to live there anymore. It's too painful. And I go there daily, and I've got to work the program and come out. But we have
your time.
So if you're out there, keep going. Keep trudging. Keep trying. I love you all. I pass.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That's Christina J. Up next is Wendy B. And before I take Wendy, let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 31 and more about alcoholism. The first paragraph, despite all we can say, through one paragraph ending with, and long enough to drink like other people. So after Wendy, I'll take another lineup. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And, you know, this paragraph describes the powerful pull of denial, you know, and the desperate hope that maybe I'm different, you know. And, you know, my experimentation was you know, trying to prove I'm the exception is thinking I just needed a better food plan or a different sponsor, or thinking, you know, I can stop after one bite, you know, and I found myself desperately trying to eat like my daughter, you know, who can eat small portions, you know, of everything. And, you know, she can use moderation. You know, she just isn't hungry. She doesn't have that bottomless pit that I have. And, you know, and I've tried and failed, and it's just not me, you know. And if I could have controlled it, you know, I would have been successful and been able to maintain it a long time ago, you know. And I see my husband here, you know, trying the same thing over and over, you know, making adjustments, making excuses, you know, but not willing to give up his addictive substances. And, you know, but I can't diagnose him. You know, this next thing he's trying to meet with a nutritionist, you know, and it might help him, you know, he might find success. I don't know, you know, you know, and I can have compassion and not judgment, you know, when I see others in the struggle, you know, I know it's not easy, you know, and I just love the statement, you know, acknowledging that some people can manage it. You know, they aren't one of us, you know, they can eat normally, they can stop when they're full, you know, they aren't obsessed. And, you know, they don't need OA, and that's great. You know, I wish that was me, you know. So this paragraph is about surrendering the illusion of control, you know, accepting reality, you know, embracing honesty and humility and willingness, you know. And I get to use this, you know, paragraph 2 to examine myself currently. You know, am I still resisting reality? You know, where am I struggling against God's will? You know, where am I still trying to be different? Where am I identifying out? You know, I just love this book. It just helps us in so many areas. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you very much. That's Wendy B., and she is from Arizona. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Alex K.
Sherry H.M. Uh-huh. Sherry H.M. I have Alex K. and Sherry H.M.
Mary Frances W.
Okay, I guess you're Mary Frances. Alex K., Sherry H.M., Mary Frances W. Anyone else? All right, we'll go with those three. Everyone mute except Alex K. Good morning, Alex.
Thanks, Mo. Thanks, everyone, for being here. I'm Alex K. in California, compulsive eater, given a reprieve for today. There's so much self-deception and denial in this disease. I kept trying to be a normal eater. I thought I wanted to be a normal eater, but what I really wanted was to be able to compulsively eat with no negative consequences. And I tried to ignore the disease, to pretend I didn't have it. I believed the lies of the disease over and over. I told myself, one bite can't hurt. This time will be different. This time I'll control it. I had a hard day. I deserve a treat. There were endless rationalizations and justifications that I couldn't see for a long time that was the disease talking. It will go to any lengths to convince me that it's okay to hurt myself with food, to eat foods that make me sick and crazy, that it's okay to starve myself all day, it's okay to binge on huge quantities of sweets for hours into the night, it's okay to deprive my body of nutrition. It's okay to stuff myself so full I feel as if I'll explode. Not only did it convince me that it was okay, it made me think it was the best idea ever. And even later, when I knew it wasn't a good idea, I was compelled to do it anyway. And then when I tried to stop, I couldn't. I thought that because I wanted to control my eating and I was exerting all my willpower, I should be able to control it, but it never worked. I expected myself to have power over a disease I'm powerless over. And then when I couldn't do it, I felt demoralized and ashamed. But Even so, in a short time, I was compulsively eating again. I was stuck in that vicious cycle for a long time, and it felt so hopeless and never-ending. I'm so grateful that today I don't live that way. I've been rescued by my higher power in the program. After being a chronic relapser for a long time, what I thought was impossible has happened. I've been given freedom from the food obsession and compulsion. I have peace with food. I have food neutrality. I haven't had the desire to hurt myself with food in years. I've had a psychic change. It's like my thinking's been rearranged. My brain cells have been rearranged. And I'm being restored to sanity. Such a miracle. Really grateful. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you very much. That's Alex K. from California. Up next is Sherry H.M., followed by Mary Frances W. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Mo. Thanks so much for your service. This is Sherry H.M., Sherry with a C, from Washington State. Gratefully recovered. Boy, this paragraph reminds me that our disease, like it says in our book here, is cunning, baffling, and powerful. Because at the beginning stages of being in this program years ago, where it talks about every form of self-deception and experimentation, I was trying to hold on to, certain foods. I thought, oh yeah, it's not, it's not the sugar, it's just the chocolate, or it's just the flour, or if it's mixed with this and this and this. And it was game playing. And then, giving up all of that, I just had to get honest with my higher power, whom I call God, and I realized, okay, you are a sugar addict. And so it was tough at first, but one day at a time, working all the steps and having a sponsor and being accountable. And my goodness, all that with the sugar and all those things, it was just taken away. And I never believed that could happen to me. I thought, well, maybe that's happened to other people, but they don't know how deep my problem is. And it's been many years now, and thanks to you guys and thanks to God. And it talks about the inability to control in this. And, like they say, control is an illusion. I couldn't control it because I am an addict of sugar and some other foods that God revealed as time went on. So it also reminds me of, the underlying issues. It's like holding that beach ball underwater, and then eventually, poof, there it goes. And for me, that was the emotional buildup. It could be happy emotions. It could be, sad. It could be shame. It could be, rejection. Any of these feelings, it was really about, we can see it in all of these, all of our book. If you look really hard, we can see that. Sometimes it was joyous feeling. Sometimes it was discouragement or jealousy or whatever. And so it's just a great exercise for me to do my 10 steps because then, that will release that beach ball up to the surface of the water and it won't go with full velocity. So thank you all. And I love you guys and I pass.
Thank you very much, Sherry H.M. from Washington State. And before I take Mary Frances, let me tell everybody where we're at. We're on page 31 in More About Alcoholism, the first paragraph, despite all we can say, through one paragraph ending with, and long enough to drink like other people. And now I will have Mary Frances, and after Mary Frances, I will take another lineup. Good morning, Mary Frances.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone. This is Mary Frances W. from Pennsylvania and gratefully recovered just for today. This paragraph really speaks to me. The whole book speaks to me. But after 43 years in OA and all those years in recovery and in relapse, when I came back to vision this past November, it was the first time that I saw myself and could admit to my innermost being that I am a real compulsive overeater. I always had this lurking notion in the past, even though I didn't know I had it, that because it was a disease, that I could, you know, go out there and try this or try that. And it always ended up that was a lie. And today, I'm not willing one day at a time to take the risk of putting anything in my mouth if I don't know what's in it or if I think that it's something that could trip me up, trigger me. And a lot of this has to do with my increased development of a relationship with my higher power. I'm a person who can get very overwhelmed and very uptight, you know, with the perfectionism, making mistakes, whatever. And I have ADD. And so when I came this time, to be able to work the steps in 4 months, which is considered long for some people, was a miracle. And to have the willingness to do that and to, you know, take my anxiety and my uptightness and my overwhelm to God and to a person I trusted, a recovered compulsive overeater, and trust the relationship and that he's got me. And that if I lean on him and invite him in, he wants nothing more than to be a part of my life and to help me overcome these things. But I got to do it a day at a time. I can't predict the future. I need to let go of the past, which one day at a time I am, and just be grateful. I'm so grateful for this meeting, for the recovered compulsive overeaters on here who share their experience, strength, and hope, their vulnerabilities, you know, what's worked for them, and all the service that people give to this meeting so that it's possible. I'm just really grateful to be a part of this community. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you very much. That's Mary Frances W. from Pennsylvania. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph? Page 31, first paragraph. Despite all we can say, ending with, and long enough to drink like other people.
Kara L.
Kara L.
Freya H.
Freya H.
Andy.
Can take one. Who is that? Ann B. Okay, I thought you said Andy. Ann B. Got it. So I have Kara L, Freya H, Ann B. All right, we'll go with those three. We'll see about our time. Good morning, everybody. Mute except Kara. Good morning, Kara.
Good morning, Mo. This is Kara L, recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Oh, this paragraph, I say that a lot, but this one, it was a turning point in my recovery when I could say I was a hopeless compulsive overeater and nothing but a power greater than myself could return me to sanity. You know, I had worked the steps a lot. I thought I was that, and I still believed that I could control this compulsion. I'd ask God for help, and I would do all the things I thought I should be doing, but I never truly said, I cannot eat like others. I am a hopeless, compulsive eater. You know, some of the things I fooled myself with were over-exercising that brought me to a thinner body, were certain food plans that I lost weight on, or pay in ways that would help me take off the weight. It never, ever, none of those connected me with a power greater than myself. None of those helped me say, God, I give you this day and everything in this day, and just put in front of me what you need me to accomplish in this day. That's it. And all through the day to day, I know that if I want to continue to have the food neutrality, if I want to continue to have a sense of peace and love from a power greater than myself, I have to keep saying that. I have to keep reminding myself, this isn't Kara's program with God's help. This is Kara not knowing and being out of control and sliding into God's world and saying, all right, I give up. I've tried for so long to do what I think. I've had that fixed mindset of what I think is right. And I'm an utter failure at it. And only with your help can I move through this world with peace and calm and love. Can I have food neutrality? Can I be of service to others? Can I, you know, just start the day with a hope and a brightness? You know, today I will do anything to maintain that connection. And I step out of God's space all the time. And so I have to, you know, remind myself continually. And how I do that is I just stop and say, I invite you in, God. God, I invite you in. Please give me words here. God, what should I wear today? God, what should I have for breakfast today? God, you know, I try with all the little things throughout the day. So when I do become desperate and I really need God, it is a habit. And, you know, I don't have any physical proof. All I know is that day by day, hour by hour, my life is blessed today. And I'm ever so grateful for that. With that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you very much. That's Kara L. from California. Up next is Freya H., followed by Ann B. Good morning, Freya.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for your service. Hi, everybody. My name is Freya H. I am a grateful recovered compulsive eater bulimic restrictor in Colorado. I love how we study every paragraph because this is one that I would tend to probably skip over. And the part that's really jumping out to me today is the humility in just the practicality and the humility in the second half where it's saying, hey, if you can, you know, if you're struggling, but then you can turn around and handle your drinking, you know, our hats are off to you. You know, like we've tried that. If you can really do it, great. You know, like it just, but it takes honesty. Like, can you be really honest about your experience? Are you really able to, you know, basically control and enjoy your drinking? And it's working for you and you have peace and serenity and happiness in your life and great, you know, like, but if you're not having that experience, you know, if you're having the experience of you are trying to prove to yourself that you are an exception to the rule, you know, if you're trying this and you're trying that and it's just not really working, then it's inviting us to really accept that maybe we can't handle this. And the thing that just keeps coming to mind is like the way that I keep trying to prove myself an exception to the rule that I can't manage my life on self-will. It's like I keep trying it, you know, like the self-deception experimentation of, you know, like, oh no, I'm gonna do it this way, I'm gonna do it that way. So it's this deeper level of admitting my powerlessness, admitting that I don't have the power to manage, you know, even in living in a recovered state and, you know, having a strong program and having so many wonderful things in my life, if I don't continually go to God and surrender, you know, on a deep, deep level, I find myself back in that place of restless, irritable, discontent, overwhelmed. And it has nothing to do with the food, you know, just like my way of managing life doesn't work. And so I'm invited to surrender again, you know, just be reminded that, oh yeah, there is a solution. And at no point do I get to say, all right, God, thanks. I've got it. I'll take it from here. But for some reason, my ego keeps thinking that's an option. So thank you all for the reminder. I'll pass.
Well, thank you very much. That's Freya H., and she is from Colorado. And up next is Ann B. I think you might be our last share, Ann. Good morning, Ann.
Hey, Ann B., compulsive overeater, calling in from a campground in Tennessee. I love chapter 3. When I joined program, this was the chapter I most identified with, because I had really been observing my eating, and I had noticed that, you know, if I ate something sweet in the morning, I was more likely to want it in the afternoon rather than less. I had noticed that I kept telling myself I was going to stop eating my alcoholic foods, and I did not stop. And I had identified myself as a food addict 8 years before I joined program, and I said it out loud, and a member of my religious group started talking to me about OA. But the problem that I missed was the part about it being progressive and hopeless and fatal. You know, and it wasn't until my ex had moved out and I stepped on the scale and I weighed 190 that I had a sense of desperation. And my first motivation was, I'll never find another husband if I don't lose this weight. And I haven't found another husband, but I did lose the weight, and it's okay that I haven't found another husband. And I've been abstinent now for 21 years, and I'm on my way to the World Service Business Convention, which is why I'm car camping across the country from New York to Albuquerque. But I'm really glad that I can stay in touch with my program by phone, because I was noticing it's been too long between meetings, and just because I'm going to World Service Business Convention does not protect me, you know. And I had, yesterday I stayed with a friend, I had dinner for breakfast, so I ended up having breakfast for dinner yesterday, and that was, you know, a little triggering, and I need to reconnect with my big book, with God, with my program. So I will pass.
All right. That's Ann B. traveling across the country. Good luck to you. Well, let me see. We have a minute. Somebody want to take a minute share on this paragraph?
Hello?
Liesl,
yes.
S. of San Diego.
Did you hear me, Agnes?
Oh, yeah. Liesl, Agnes was first, so I'll let Agnes have the minute, okay? Next time. Okay, Agnes,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, real quick. yeah, I'm beginning to, you know, catch all this in my life. You know, even though I've been abstinent for over 14 months now, at least what I call strict form of abstinence, you know, but there are even little things like fruits that still tell me that I'm a compulsive overeater. And when I'm defiant and I don't want to surrender it, I keep struggling with it, you know. But finally, I've said with my sponsor to God, okay, take it away one day at a time, because I don't eat it like a lady after all these years, after all these months, you know. I still think I can have one, then it's two, then it's three by the end of the day. So, yeah, it's progressive, and I need divine assistance. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Well, Agnes, thank you very much for keeping that to a minute. And Liesl, please come back tomorrow to share. Thank you all for sharing today and for your service. So we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I am going to ask Leslie M. to read. Agnes, mute your phone, please.
Sorry.
Thanks. That's okay. Leslie, I will call on you now. Leslie M., thank you.
Thanks, Mo. Thanks for your service. I am Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. we realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.